Good morning again.
You may never think of yourself as raising the dead. That is what you will be doing the moment you go out and agree to sit, stand spiritually with another individual to help lift his consciousness. That is all raising the dead ever meant. In the healing ministry, we are raising the dead, those who are asleep to Christ. And that is what you will be doing when you open your healing heart to other individuals who need a little boost along the way, who have to be reminded that somebody cares, and that somebody is the Holy Spirit. Christ left the earth when he stopped being visible. When he stopped throwing forth that image called Jesus. And then he reappeared. The reason it was 3 days was because he appeared to us as a mortal, and then the 3 days during which he disappeared were the soul day, the spirit day, and the Christ day. Those three worlds were transcended. And then he appeared as a man again to the disciples to remind them, to teach us that as he had not died, we could do the same. He gave us a glimpse of life behind the scenes to show us that no one in the world ever dies. Even if a fellow went to a place that they call purgatory, if he were dead, he would not suffer. He's alive in purgatory. So the point is that whether you go to a higher level or a lower level, you're still alive. Now, on the lower level, which strangely enough is called the world, it's really the underworld. And that's what we're in. We're in the underworld. We have the option of God or mammon. The option is always present. And then comes the Christ to show us that it's possible to raise yourself to a level out of the flesh, henceforth knowing no man after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him that way no more. For above the flesh is the spirit world, where we will have our fifth experience. And so we are now a group with one intention, to raise the dead. And that means our human selfhood. And because we cannot leave our fellow man behind, we must raise the dead universally. And every man must feel the Christ. And then as Christ in Jesus showed us that life is eternal, Christ in man will follow that course and will attain the eternal life. If that picture is clear, it becomes so simple to rearrange your life to cover those important bases. Our function is to remain awake, to achieve total awakeness, to lift ourselves from the fourth realm of mortality, which believes that it dies. And yet it doesn't die, because when it's so-called, its meaning of death is different in the spiritual world than it is in this world. In the spiritual world, death is known as an experience. In the physical world, it's known as the end of life. When matter dies, we think a person is dead. But the matter was never alive to die. The supreme illusion is that we die and we're dead. If we're lucky, we get selected on the basis of our so-called merits, and we go to a place called heaven, which we all bought at one time. So we're not very far off from yesterday's illusion. Strangely enough, there's a physical quantity, which has made it impossible for most of the world to see the spiritual nature of man. And if we look at matter and break it down, we have been relegated to a place where we are that matter. And then when the matter goes, we go with it, and it decomposes, it joins the rest of the universe, and there's no us anymore. The scientist breaks it down a little further. He goes down to the atom. And for a long time, we thought we knew something. So we were atomic. And I was an atom, a compilation of atoms. And you were a compilation of atoms. And then, finally, we became microatoms. Finally, we were the smallest particles known to man. People thought that this was what life was made of. And people, largely, the majority of people in the universe, still think that is what life is made of. That you are made of these tiny microatoms. And until you can see through that illusion, you're going to fear death. You're going to fear that this body of yours is going to be taken away, and it's composed of microatoms. Now, when you go out to heal, you're going to bring that fear of death to your treatment of a patient, and that's going to deter results. You must get rid of the illusion that is called fear, which is based upon ignorance. And all our fears are based upon the ignorance that this is me, and that when the life of this goes, me goes. When it was seen that there is no life in matter, we understood why Jesus wanted to raise the dead. The belief that there is life in matter leaves you as a prey to every illness in the world. Every possible sickness that can occur, every conditioning, is based upon the fact that I live in a body of matter. And the thing I'm really living in is in my belief that I'm living in a body of matter. Because I see myself as a body of matter. Because when I go to the store, my body goes to the store. You may as well say, I am the body. And the body contains a brain, there I am. And man has lived this way. He's cut himself off from the true universe. When he says, God or mammon, he's saying mammon is the universe you live in without God, absent from God, and absent from life because God is life. We are all guilty. We have all wandered around the universe as a prodigal, absent from life, absent from God, and there's that deep hunger in each of us. We all feel it. We're all searching for something, something to stabilize us, something to hang on to. And finally, we hung on to an atom and a microatom. Oh, that's us. It wasn't, but we thought it was. The atom was another illusion. Oh, it's just as real as your body. To you. But it isn't here. It isn't there. The body that seems there slowly decomposes. And what we thought was there isn't here anymore. And we think we have gone. And we were never in that body. Never. It wasn't possible to be in that body. We had built up a concept of ourselves. And then we see it, we feel it, we hear it, it moves, it breathes, it does this. This is a perfect counterfeit. A perfect counterfeit. So that you cannot tell the difference. And you are not in that body, and you are not that body. And as astounding as it was to us to learn that, as astounding as it still is, why in the world would the Christ tell you, know no man after the flesh? Why would he tell you that flesh is grass? Flesh withers. Because there's no life in flesh. There was an illusion of life. Because the flesh seemed to move, we thought that man is alive. And now you're desperately reaching out for something else because you've got to live. You can't forever remain an illusion. And the answer is that this was the fourth phase of our return to the heavenly Christ. We have to go through it. I assure you, once you're home again, you'll never wander out. There will never be another illusion in your life. We have to learn what truth is, and we have to use truth. Let it use us to lift us. We all think Jesus said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. Infinite Way has taught us that Jesus didn't say that at all. And nowhere is the distinction more important. When you read that in the Bible, you're reading the words that were spoken by Christ, the universal Christ, the Christ in every man. And then the translation becomes so utterly clear. I, Christ, am the life. I, Christ, am the resurrection. And suddenly you discovered that I, Christ, am the life. Not I, Herb, I, Mary, I, Joel, I, anybody. I am the illusion, but I, Christ, am the life. And fortunately for us, I, Christ, is our name. And when the life tells you who it is, but you don't know that you are the Christ, then where are you? And so Christ says now, know no man after the flesh, know Christ. Plato says, know thyself. But who is thyself? It's not this bundle of bones. It must impress upon you the undeniable fact that the living Christ is the only identity to which you can answer and say, yes, I am that. And then it must be impressed upon you that you must spend your time developing a relationship with the Christ, which in turn will supersede any relationship, and you will be that Christ. That is the only way for survival. That is the only way to get out of the wheel of death and reincarnation and death and reincarnation. You must be that Christ. And you are. And so it would be well if we would move things out of the way that stand in the way, that prevent us from realizing where our work must go. It wouldn't matter if you were an infinite way student or not. Christ is universal. The Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew, anyone is the Christ. So we throw away the labels. And we claim identity as a living child of God. But not for ourselves only. Every individual we see. And because Christ is the name of each individual, you can't claim it here and disavow it over there. Because I am over there. And I am over there. I am omnipresent. And therefore, you cannot claim that I am localized, because when you claim I am localized, you're stepping out of the realization of identity. Identity isn't one person or another. Identity is the immortal human race. The human race has to awaken to the fact that it is not the dead, dying matter. It is the living, eternal Christ. And every recognition that you give another is raising the dead. When you become infatuated with the idea that you have this power to raise the dead to life, you have something to give every person in the universe. You are the bringer of good news. And the funny thing is that you can't even take this to everyone. You can't say, let me tell you something. You are the living Christ. There's no preparation for that in the human consciousness. And so at an early age you start to be still about who you are and about who he is, although you know who he is. And you soon lose the he, the him, the her, the me into this larger concept. I am the Christ of all men. And when you do, you open up a whole new universe for yourself. Because that is when God proves that everything is possible to God. Let's assume that you agree and that you try to follow and that you realize that you are the universal Christ. What change would that make in your human life? You are everyone you see. I don't mean it as a symbolism. I don't mean it as an idea that we're to think about. I mean it's the fact of life. You are everyone you see. That man over there is no less you than what you had called yourself, because yourself isn't this body. You are the infinite invisible. And it's silly when you have all to be settled down into a microcosm that has a tiny bit of nothing. All substance is you. There's not another substance in the world. And when we get back to the atom and follow it down lower to the microatom, and then it disappears, and that man is considered dead, we have forgotten about the essence of that man, which is not dead, which is a substance of life, which we are. And once you become imbued with this idea, oh, it'll take some time, but when you become imbued with it, and it slowly pulses through up to your soul, and the realization strikes you, I, the universal Christ, it may take you a year before you even can get yourself to believe it. But someday you must, because it's the only salvation we have. And then when you are the universal Christ, you see how stupid we have lived. We have lived by the sweat of our brow, by our intelligence, by our will, all the things we thought we had to do to survive, to forge ahead, to protect ourselves. We all live with one eye on tomorrow and one eye on yesterday. We don't know who's coming up behind us. But our being includes all that is called time. It is all myself. In your meditation now, we want to slowly realize that the universal Christ is here. All of the universal Christ is right here. All of the universal Christ is right there. And all of the universal Christ is in every country of the world. The infinite Christ is everywhere, and everywhere it is infinite. And it is I. That's the miracle of infinity. I am perfect in Alaska right now. But you're speaking about the individual you once thought was God in the heaven, to be worshipped externally. But God is right here. And strangely enough, the ground you are is holy, because the you and the God are one and the same. We have been out with the swine, eating with them. But suddenly there are no swine. We are home with the Father. Now, if you believe a whit of this, it will take you and it will slowly drain all of the iniquities out of your so-called brain. It will drain out of you all of the things that you are not. And you will stop riding two horses. You rode those two horses because the world made you, the world you created. You thought you had to ride on the horse of good and the horse of evil. And you thought you had to live in such a way that you kept the evil out and the good in. In human duality, we all live on those two. It's the same as the tree of good and evil. But where is it? It's in our imagination. There is no evil and there is no good. There is only perfection. And we must make an earnest effort to uphold what is. You're taking all this and more to your patient, so you have a double responsibility to be what you tell your patient, to lift your patient as you have been lifted yourself by yourself. The difference between a poor man and a rich man is not the amount of money they have, because neither the poor man or the rich man have reality. But the spirit of man, which is the only man, is the rich man. For the riches he has are the divine, which will never be taken from him. The riches of the human will be taken. To the new idea that your Christhood extends all over the universe. That's why you're master of the tides. That's why you live above time. All things that are temporary have no power to one who is the master of himself. And the only mastery there is to know the truth. To be the truth you know. And eventually, as all of the truth becomes part of your being, you will find that every motion, every activity, every thought is divine. I'm not painting a picture of a future event, nor am I trying to instill in you the belief that you are someone you are not, or the belief that you are trying to impersonate, or trying to in some way convince yourself that you can do these things or feel this way. I am. That I will be. All that you will be is what you are. As you climb, climb, climb higher, you're only climbing up to what you already are, completed. It is finished. Man is the Son of God. And when you know yourself to be that, a lot of the foolish things that we do, we won't do. The beginning point of life. That's when we start to live, when we start to explore, we start to have things come to us from out of the blue. Wonderful things. Things that we need but can't find. The peace of mind we earnestly seek but can't find. Lingering doubt. The things we can't control. The worries we have about children. We have stopped realizing that the only way we can teach children is by example. They will follow a good example. If we can show children the value of spirit, they have little choice but to want it and to seek it and to strive to attain it. If we can't show them the value of spirit, why are we surprised that they turn to drugs? There's energy that they have to burn up. They're going to burn it up as they see fit when they have a goal that is superior to another. They will choose the one that's best for them. If they can surf ride, they'd rather do it than not surf. If they can surf ride in spirit, they're going to want to do that. We have to provide them with alternatives they do not now have. And in so doing, we'll provide ourselves with those same alternatives. The children are our inspiration to do as well as we can to invite them to our kingdom. Let's not invite them to our world. So when we look at Raise the Dead, we begin with, I am the life. There's not a one among you, says the Christ, who, if he's not living the Christ life, was alive. And it will someday be brought to a rude awakening. And so we have a manger, which somehow we're led to. And in that manger, we are born of the Spirit of God. And do you notice how nobody can hurt that child? That child born in you is the same way. And it is born in a manger. In the manger of your consciousness, where no one is present. And many, many things in this world attack. And still that child grows up, because there is something sustaining that child. That is the Christ child. And that's the same thing that sustains you as you grow up internally. There's always the Spirit of God protecting. There's always three prophets arriving to give you the myrrh, the frankincense, and the gold. Along the way, there's always the Essenes to raise you as you grow a little older. The Spirit of God is always with the child of Christ. And as that Spirit grows in you and that child grows in you, it's growing into the fifth world of understanding. There is no impediment, nothing standing in its way. As this Christ grows, you find that you and heaven are one. The Spirit of God is upon you. I didn't read of any sickness in the Christ. Any infectious diseases, any heart attacks. It must be that he didn't have any. And why? This is the nature of the Christ. And as this Christ continues to grow in you, it begins to draw people to it. At first, they're offended. But as the Word of God comes through, as the blind man sees, as the crippled arm is no longer crippled, as all of the defects that mankind has known are not in this child, there must be a reason. this child is a symbol of the child that grows in you, ever, ever widening out, until your identity has overreached the shores of this world that we know. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not stopping at a boundary. I'm not going to be a microatom or combination of microatoms or configuration of atoms. I am the essence of God. My essence is the light of the world. But I am only the child that grew in you. Which automatically fulfills every divine law. You thought you had wealth. But now you have wealth that no one can take from you. If the stock market goes up or down, it won't affect you. Inflation or deflation. You are provided for by an invisible force. And if we felt a little of that in our lives up to now, just imagine what you'll feel as it develops, as this Christ in you grows. None of this is fanciful or fiction. It is to be lived. Have an element of it in you stabilized so that you know it. You're a different person. And you know what I mean by that? That no one can ever take it away, and you know it. And you go forth and you now have the ability when you go forth to bring that light in you and to light the light in others. You're doing God's work. You can be as rich as you want to be, but you're doing God's work now, or as poor as you want to be. But you'll be provided for in health, in income, in companionship, in happiness, in harmony, in peace, in fulfillment, because you're living a whole life. Nothing is missing. You don't have to go seeking for something else. The world comes to you. Everything you need comes from inside yourself. Your human mind would not have known what it needed. It would have thought it needed certain things. Your Christ mind provides for its needs. And it reaches out for those needs in the inner world. And then they manifest in the outer world. Whatever is needed must appear. That's the way life should be.